Hey, thanks for tuning in to Supply Chain, the secret sauce of business for every business. If you don't have a good supply chain, you're missing the secret sauce. This podcast is also on our YouTube channel, Supply Chain, the secret sauce. So if you want to check out the video, please do that. We try to bring you the best in supply chain, the most innovative, the most interesting people. So stay tuned. Hey, thanks for tuning into this show. Well, this is going to be a pretty cool episode, especially if you like sustainability and all that goes with it. What an ever-changing industry is this whole compostable, recyclable, and packaging. So our focus today is supply chain packaging with an expert in the field. Stay tuned. It's going to be an awesome show.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining in the 2023 video. Here we go. And on the show today, so happy to have this person on the show. Andrew Schrantz is a young professional breaking into the sustainability packaging industry. He graduated in May of 2022 from The Ohio State University with a degree in sustainable business. Before landing in the job that he currently has with BGR as the sustainability program manager. BGR is a leading packaging supplies distributor based here in Cincinnati, Ohio. He's building BGR's sustainability program from the ground up, aiming to make this company and operations more eco-friendly, creating a portfolio of sustainable packaging products and keeping the market of BGR Sustainability Packaging Solutions. It's going to be a cool show. Nice to have you, Andrew.
Thanks for having me, Wade. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing in your role, because it's a role in supply chain that is becoming more and more common, but you're really leading the way here. So it'd be great to just share a little bit more about what you're doing at BGR.
Yeah, so you kind of covered two of the main points in the little intro, but at BGR, we're kind of starting a sustainability program, and we're focused on two things: making our own operations more sustainable and then offering sustainable solutions for our customers. So my job so far, I've been in the job for about 6 months now, and I'm exploring various different sustainability projects that we may be looking to implement. So I've been looking into LED lighting retrofits, solar panels, increasing our recycling rates, and then one of our biggest parts of our waste stream. So we manufacture pressure sensitive labels, and that creates a lot of waste, and it's not easy to recycle that. So most companies like ours, it all just goes straight to the landfill, but we found a company in Northern Ohio that they can, it's like an engineered fuels program, I think they call it, and they turn it into fuel that's used in cement kilns. So it's kind of a more circular solution. So I've been looking into that too. And then on the product side, BGR, we already sell a lot of sustainable packaging products, but we're looking to kind of turn it into a full portfolio for our customers so that they can have sustainable solutions for any kind of packaging needs that they have.
Yeah. So, I mean, the trends, obviously you're very aware, and I'm sure you studied a lot about this in your background, but just, it's amazing how things have changed over time and just relatively new over the last couple of years. And where everything is heading. So, just kind of give us an overview of what you're seeing in the packaging industry and where it was and kind of where we are today, if you don't mind.
So I think it used to just be, sustainability wasn't really a focus until just a few years ago even. But now there's this huge customer demand for sustainability. And I think it's kind of part of a bigger overall trend just in business in general, where sustainability is becoming a major focus for a lot of businesses. And I think it's largely consumer driven. So I think a lot of companies are really focusing on their packaging sustainability because packaging, you know, it's a major part of the supply chain and it creates a lot of waste. I think statistics like 30% of all waste in the landfill is just packaging. Companies are really motivated to increase the sustainability of their packaging.
So it's like it's gone from like recycling of just corrugated mainly with some wood, you know, that isn't overseas type of wood that has been treated, but now, I mean, the film is, you know, like the bio PBS, and there's just different more advantageous avenues of what can be recycled and or what materials can be purchased that are somewhat, you know, biodegradable, at least industrial biodegradable. And it's really is interesting that the product schemes are moving towards getting to a home compostable, which is really extraordinary. It's just a fast moving industry, isn't it? It's hard to keep track of what's going on.
It is, yeah.
It's amazing. Well, thank you for being on the show. And, you know, we've got a couple of things to talk about. So we're really excited to jump in here. And just in general, you know, where do you see companies heading in this sustainability initiative? You kind of mentioned like on the packaging support in terms of product and the waste that happens in the supply chain and really creating a avenue that companies can call, like companies like BGR, you know, you can call them and they can help companies with their sustainability efforts by aggregating all that recycling. And so that they have a solution, a possible solution that could help, you know, alleviate some of their challenges. But, you know, do you see this heading more towards that direction where you're kind of coagulating the industry to help support that sort of recycling initiative? Because right now it's very siloed, right? I mean, just kind of give me your feelings about it.
Yeah. So right now it's just a lot of companies kind of doing their own thing. There's not a lot of working together on that. But I think the collaboration, like you just mentioned, is going to be a big part of it. It really takes like the full, you know, like recycling your waste isn't just as simple as like you've got to have the processes in place to do it. There's got to be the infrastructure to do it. You have to have like the partnerships in place. So I think it's going to take a collective effort.
It's a challenge, right? So, you know, from a supply chain perspective, I know that a lot of companies want to be more recycling and have those initiatives, but it's hard when you don't have a company or a person or a place you can go to. I know you work with a company, iSustain, is that correct as well?
Yeah, we've been partnering with them. They're a company that they offer solutions for your entire waste stream. So they kind of take care of everything. They find the providers, the transportation, figure out how to collect the materials because it's more difficult than it seems. I mean, you gotta implement some major changes in your own operations, and you have to get all of your employees on board with that, change the way that they do things. So you need really good processes in place for that to be successful. And companies like iSustain can help with that. They provide the logistical help for doing that.
Gotcha. So do you think like companies can see some money back when they recycle, or is it more about just being a good steward to the environment and that marketing effort that they are being a good steward, that the value is driven, or is it both?
It's definitely both. I think, I mean, there's companies that definitely want to do good and are motivated by being good stewards. But then there's also definitely a profitable side to it, though. Because like right now, I think the recycling markets are kind of down along with the general economy. But typically you can sell, you know, corrugate and films and especially metal can be pretty profitable if you sell them for recycling. So I think there's definitely, you know, instead of paying to have it taken away, you know, you can get paid to recycle it. So there's definitely, you know, like a direct earnings from that. Then there's the marketing impact. And then there's just being a good steward of the environment. And then there's also building, like, sustainability is becoming important to company culture too. I think there's a lot of research out there about how employees want to work for companies that look out for the community, look out for the environment. So it can help with even like employee retention too.
That's a great point, Andrew. I, you know, never thought about that. That's excellent. That's a good comment. That's great. Where do you see this, you know, heading in the next 5 years? If you were to look forward, kind of knowing what trends have occurred and how the growth seems to be picking up, but kind of where is it going? Is it still going to be as complicated in the future in terms of, you know, sorting and segregating at the company to in order to facilitate the recycling? Or do you think there's the trend more towards just gathering it all and taking it to a center where it's sorted and separated?
I think there's still going to be complications with that. I think over time, especially as more and more companies are getting into sustainability and recycling, I think there's going to be more solutions out there, though. And one thing that I see too, so like right now, sustainable packaging is largely focused on recycled packaging, like made from recycled content, packaging that's recyclable. And then there's like the compostable, which is kind of on the rise. But as you said, it's largely like industrial compostable, which is difficult because there's not that many facilities out there that take that. But one thing that I see kind of on the rise, and it hasn't really made a huge impact yet, but is reusable packaging. I think that's kind of the gold standard from a sustainability standpoint, because reusing is the most eco-friendly out of all the options. It's better than just recycling. Like, recycling is good, but reusing is better. So, and right now, I mean, I think a lot of the current reusing, like you see, like you hear about like grocery stores that offer, you know, like reusable containers and stuff, but that's kind of like a novel idea. It hasn't really picked up steam, but I'm interested to see in 5-10 years kind of where that's at.
But yeah, that's really good. I think that reusability concept can be applied in some industries fairly easily if there was adoption. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and there's I mean, even just like from, you know, an industrial setting, there's you know, there's companies that you know, reuse like manufacturing totes, and with that there's kind of the complication of you gotta have a system in place to keep track of the, you know, the totes or the containers, and then you got to make sure they get returned, and that's kind of can be kind of a headache. But I'm interested to see if that picks up more steam, if there'll be a better system in place for that.
Yeah, I mean, it fundamentally, historically, right? So like from the milk crate concept to the wood pallets to the plastic pallets, you know, you can see that has developed, and people have developed methods to track. So to your point, you know, anything's possible. And that's a good call out for the future. I think that's something that certainly could happen as well. And then, you know, as far as the legal aspects of what's going on too, that might drive different behaviors as different states ban certain things. And certainly that will be a part of the whole sustainability edge too. Do you see any legal requirements jumping into the supply chain coming down the road, or is it pretty much consumer based at this point?
So I think at least right now it's mostly consumer based, but as you can see in like Europe and states like California, New Jersey, there's starting to be legislation with it's like EPR laws, extended producer responsibility. And I think that kind of thing could eventually take hold all throughout the US potentially. And I think that'll be definitely another big motivator for companies to be more sustainable, because if you got to follow the law, I mean, but yeah, I mean, I think right now it's been legislation for that's been proposed in a lot of states. There's not a lot of states that have passed it yet, but I think in the future we'll probably see definitely an increase in that. So,
I think maybe
at the federal level potentially, who knows? But
yeah, it's a great point, Andrew. And you look at Europe and other countries as models that. Sometimes it doesn't always make it to the United States, but certainly sometimes it does. So that's a really good call out. And you never know. Is there one thing that you would say supply chain leaders can do right now that would impact their packaging supply chain? I mean, often, some companies don't know how to look at their packaging supply chain to see opportunities. And just curious if there's anything that you know that you would like to share.
Just based off of what we've done at BGR, I think it's about making sure that you're doing the right thing at your own facilities first and foremost, making sure that you have the processes in place to be a more sustainable company. And then once that's in place, offering sustainable solutions for your customers. Cause I think, in terms of packaging, it's your customers want sustainable packaging. I mean, no one likes, opening a box and having to be 80% void fill and then having to fill your trash can with void fill. But yeah, I think doing the right thing at your own facility first and then looking to kind of extend that opportunity to your customers is how I see it.
That's a great point. So looking at your current packaging and notating that customer behaviors change, and as you're putting that box together, how much void are you adding to the box? If the customer units per box has changed, maybe you need to change the box size to make better use of that box and save on void and all those sort of components. It's a great call out. A lot of people just don't think about that. And, they just say, okay, I've got a box for direct to consumer and, let's rock and roll. But not only does it add to the consumables of the product that is void filled, but it also adds to your cost and your logistics side in terms of the parcel cost if you have too big of a box compared to the contents that you really have inside that box. So that's a good thing that leaders should really
dive. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it increases your trucking cost too. If the even just a small increase in the weight in the package can make a big difference over if you're selling thousands and thousands of the same product. So I think there's kind of solutions throughout the entire supply chain, from the supplies to customizing the boxes to make sure they're the right size, and then to inventory management, to how you're actually packaging them. There's automated solutions out there. And then the transportation itself. So,
yeah, that's great. Well, Andrew, I'll put your LinkedIn profile in the notes of this podcast in case people want to get a hold of you. And of course, BGR is available. And if they have any sustainability questions in their packaging, they can contact BGR as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. Well, Andrew, thank you for your time. Wonderful conversation. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Wade. Love talking.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. Really appreciate your support. wanted to let you know www.supplychainthesecretsauce. It's where you can find all the podcasts as well as subscription-based supply chain consulting. We are supply chain rapid scale experts at Supply Chain Secret Sauce. We repair, strengthen, and bulletproof supply chains for companies growing at an exponential pace. You can find us at www.supplychainsecretsauce.com. Again, thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.